Good morning. Well, we probably could have just sat there and listened to a whole lot more stories, couldn't we have? And the thing that's always a rebuke to me is that we should have a bookload, all of us, of stories that we could tell about who came to Christ because God was good enough to use us as ambassadors for His glory. And yet, sometimes I think I think of some of the opportunities where the Lord's allowed me to be used of Him, and I think also of the opportunities that have bypassed me because I was too busy, or the Lord just rebuked me. I was just a couple of nights, or last week, Saturday, and I had to go speak on Sunday morning, and of course you want to be the good Christian preacher, you know, that's going to stand behind the pulpit, and in the meantime, I've had this privilege of living in an apartment, and first time, and down below, a family of, I don't know how many, have moved in, and there are two floors below us, and from, I'd say, the party usually starts at about 11 o'clock, and it ends every night for days in a row sometimes at 5:30, and of course, I have to speak, and I'm preparing and things like this, and I'm not feeling very happy about this, woohoo, you know, and everything else that's going on down below, and last night, we've just had a really busy week, and I've really been, they've been on my heart, I've been praying for them, how I would reach them, because they're really just, to put it straightforward, they're very disrespectful to anybody. The place is a very quiet apartment, and now it's just in an uproar, and all the beer bottles are laying around, and they've had security over and whatnot. But last night, my son said, oh, there's an ambulance down below, and I said, oh, take a look, Suze. And he says it's from one of the guys down below. And the smell of pot and everything coming up into our apartment that floods our apartment on hot nights, and it's just been quite a different cultural experience for us. But the thing that the Lord rebuked me of is that they don't know any better. This is what they've learned. This is what they've did, no different than what our brother's just been sharing about in Mississippi. This is a way of life for some people, and though some of them might know better, they need the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to lift up our eyes and get them off here and look on the Lord Jesus Christ and look on the fields, because they're ripe and ready to harvest. So I trust that you'll take advantage of opportunities, and my message this morning is just a little bit on a question that has to do with me making excuses. And so before we get into it, let's just pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word of God. We thank You that we hold it in our hands, the Word of truth. And yet, Father, many around the world, they don't have food, and they also don't have the best food that comes from Your Word, the Word of God. And Father, we thank You that we can hold it in our hands, this Word of truth. And Father, help us to be students of the Word, and that we would be ready. It would help us to be bold and not to be fearful to share the message of salvation with those around us. And Father, what a wonderful day it'll be when we get to heaven and see those who we've seen on this earth come to know You and our brothers and sisters, and know that they'll spend all of eternity in heaven. So Father, I just pray that Your Word would speak to each heart that's come today, and pray these things in Your Son's precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, before I get into my message, lest I forget, I've already received one, but I'm asking people, if you happen to have an MP3 player laying around your house and that you're not using anymore and that the battery still works on it, then we'd be happy to take that off your hands, because what we're doing is we're hoping to put the Word of God and messages on these MP3 players. And even a couple of gigs can put a lot of stuff on them. And I'll tell you, it really touches your heart when you see people hold an MP3 to their heart, especially somebody that's older that'll never learn to read and write. You can teach them until you're blue in the face, and they just don't seem to get it. And one lady holding this MP3 player to her heart and saying, now I can finally feed myself from the Word. And so if you happen to have one that you're not using, we've collected a few so far. We want to get the Word on these players. These people are roughly 40 years of age and older, and they would love to be able to listen to the Word of God. What a wonderful thing to have people that want to hear the Word of God. but it's a sad thing when you're trying to preach them to take time to read the Word from day to day, and they have no way to do that unless somebody will take the time to go down to their house and a group will get together, which happens time to time in our village, where people get together and read the Word to the elderly because they just don't have the opportunity because they don't know how to read and write. So that's a little plug for today. It's always encouraging to come into assemblies and look in the front and see pictures of different full-time workers, missionaries around the world, and it always encourages my heart, and it's always encouraging to see those little things called tracts that we can use to pass out to people, and so that they can know who the Lord Jesus Christ is and know the way of salvation. One of the questions, I went to mission training many years ago, and one of the questions that was first asked us was this: are the heathen, especially I'm going to talk about those in faraway tribes, are the heathen really lost? Will God overlook the fact that they've never heard the gospel? There are some liberal churches that would look at Romans chapter 10 and say, how shall they hear without a preacher? Well, they answer the question, say they can't, and they can't even reject a message that they've never heard. So will God let them off the hook, so to speak? When I went into mission training 35 years ago, the anthropologists in these countries were stressing that to leave those people alone because they're happy the way they are. But as I got over to the mission field and of course heard stories, one in particular was on New Britain Island in Papua New Guinea, where there was a missionary there who had finally got the New Testament, I believe, was translated in some Old Testament portions, and he put together a book and put together a Bible that he could give to the people. And so they had a day of dedication. And so a few anthropologists who had happened to be around that area decided to show up too, and there was quite a group of people. So they were really knocking the Christians for having done this and poo-pooing this whole thing that they had done. So the village leader came over and heard what they were saying, and he said, guys, I want to have a little talk. And he said, you want us to be happy the way we are, and you think that that's the way it is for us, that we're always happy. But he said, you yet want to improve on your life and the way you live. You want to live much better lives by having a better home or building a better home or having a better mattress or having an education for your family and giving us or having medicine, whatnot. The missionaries have done that for us. They've given us some physical things. But the best thing they gave us is this book. And in this, there gives us hope and there gives us happiness, which is true happiness, which comes from Christ. And at that, a bunch of men who were listening chased the anthropologist out of the village. And so do people who have never heard about God, much less the story of Jesus Christ, go to hell? Yes, they do, because they're lost sinners. And in Romans 3:9, it says, what then? Are we better than they? No, and no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands. There is none that seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. And of course, many of us know many scriptures from the Word of God that tell us, like John 3, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So somebody comes up to me and says, yeah, but what about Romans chapter 1? I won't read all the verses there this morning, but in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, we'll just look there for a moment. It says, for I am not ashamed, and I hope that's you this morning, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. And then this verse, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. What some people are thinking, and I've listened to some Christians even say this, is that by looking at creation, we can know that Jesus Christ died on a cross? I said, I don't think so. This verse here is talking about the fact that the invisible things of creation show us and can clearly be seen and understood that there is God, that there is a Godhead, and that there's no excuse. There has to be some recognition that there was a creator, that somebody made all of this and made the rivers keep flowing in the same direction. And we look at people and we look at animals, we look at stars, and we can tell there had to be a creator. But sometimes I think that is used as an excuse to not really be involved in the Lord's work, because people looking at the stars, people looking at a tree producing leaves, people looking at an animal do not know that Jesus Christ died on a cross for their sins. They do not know that his blood was shed. And so God needs ambassadors who will go out and share that message. Now, having said that, Deuteronomy 4:29 says, "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul." And we know many stories here today of people who have come to know the Lord who were maybe in some African jungle. There's a story of one missionary who was walking through a snowstorm in Nepal, and in this blinding snowstorm, lost. But God had his purposes. There's a man in a home that's praying to this creator God, but does not know how he can get to God, or how he can be associated with this God, or have any relationship with him. And so the missionary who's lost ends up knocking at this door of this home, and I can't remember all the story, but I know that he gets in there and shares the message of salvation with this person who is ever so anxious to hear what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for him. And again, I believe in this case, he got saved. Same with my dad. My dad went to the preacher of our denominational church that did not preach the gospel and said, "I feel like things are wrong in my life. And I feel like there's something missing in my life, that I'm not right with God." And he goes, no. He says, "You come to church every week." And he says, "You're a good man." And he said, "You do confession of faith and join the church." And he said, "Everything will be all right." Well, praise the Lord. Actually, I've heard two stories now of this occasion. Years ago, we used to have Billy Graham crusades, and they would come out to Truro, Nova Scotia. And Billy Graham wasn't there. Cliff Barrows and some of those men would be there. And people from our church who knew the doctrines and the teachings and the stories in the Bible and Old Testament covenant teaching were often picked on to be counselors, and my dad was picked on to be a counselor, and the counselors all got together, and they were talking about how to lead somebody to the Lord and what key verses you can use and whatnot, and seeing their understanding, and everything was all done, and my dad walked over to the head counselor and he said, "What's this thing about being saved you're talking about?" And my dad had the opportunity of coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I share that with you because I believe that my dad was praying that God would show him and reveal to him what was the way of truth. And I know that God is faithful when it comes to that. And I thank the Lord today that my dad is still preaching the word in the Netherlands, and I hope he gives him many more years. But it's only through faith and hearing the story of the message of salvation that we can put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to go. And many years ago, I shared with you here that the American Society of Christian Churches, I don't know what the statistic is today, but this was 20-some years ago, says that 79.5% of people come to know the Lord through a one-on-one witness. Not because they heard Jesus Christ at a crusade, or not because they really liked the pastor or the preacher of a certain church, but because of a one-on-one witness. And so I hope that some of the thoughts that our brother was just sharing with and what Leonard was sharing this morning too will encourage your heart to be ready to go and be ready to share, because a lot of times the opportunity is right beside us. And if you pray for an opportunity, believe me, you'll see the opportunities come your way. So God will take care of those who are searching for him. But what does Jesus say to us? What's my responsibility? And sometimes I feel like I'm preaching to the choir because I thank the Lord for the witness you have here. But yet sometimes the Lord challenges us to get out there and reach others and get out to places where the gospel's never been preached. And so in Luke 24:47 it says, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among PEI. what's it say? It says among all nations beginning at Jerusalem. And New Tribes Mission has just taken on the name ethnos, which I think, if I'm right, you can correct me later, but I think that's the plural form for the word ethnic. And so the word nations here is, I don't know how you think of nations as the meaning of it, but I like the word ethnic group because that's what God wants. He wants to every ethnic group, every cultural group that is different out there, he wants the gospel preached beginning at Jerusalem. And yet, there are, as I just shared recently, there are at least 100 different language groups around the world, 100 different tribes, where it's becoming almost illegal to preach to them the word of salvation. Places like in the Amazon jungles in Brazil, where they've decided they don't want any more people going there because of the problem of those who are going to steal their trees or steal their oil or steal whatever there is. So they don't want those people in there, and they decided to lump the Christians in with them. But yet, God gives us opportunity, and one of the opportunities that we see happening around us is, again, what was mentioned, is countries are pouring into our backyard. And I don't know if anybody's taken advantage, if there's any ministry happening with the illegals that are crossing our borders, but there are many, I don't know, there's been up to some times I hear 350 a day or 15 or 20 per hour are pouring across our borders, and I wonder, is there anybody there at the Quebec border meeting those people? What an opportunity to share the gospel. We've taken so much time, so many years, to take the gospel to places like, we often use the example of Africa, where the sewing machine was there, way there before the gospel got there. And the Coke can was there many years before missionaries got there. And that could be, I don't know to you, but that's a real rebuke to me. Matthew 9:38 says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So the challenge is for us to at least to be praying, and God will provide the opportunities. John 20:21 says, then said Jesus to them, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I my brother. Oh, send I you. And I don't know if we really get that. Jesus Christ came into the world to do the will of his Father. Are we ready to go? Acts 1:8, verses we all know. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria. And that's it. No, it tells us to the ends of the earth. And the gospel has not gone to the ends of the earth. 2,000 languages without scripture, and another 2,000 right now that missionaries are working in to translate the word of God into those languages where people have never had the word of God in their language. 2 Corinthians 5:14 tells us the love of Christ is what constrains us. It's the love of Christ. We just heard Brother Sharon too. It's the love of Christ that urges us, that pushes us. And I hope that when you sense God pushing you to cross the street, that you'll just trust God to help you. I know that one brother was sharing with somebody at work, and he said, I was praying, and he said, I was just so nervous. And he went to try to talk to this guy, and he failed 2 or 3 times. But trust the Lord. Almighty God is in your heart. He finally shared the word with this guy. God is there to help us to share that word. And I trust that that's what you're doing and that you're excited because of what God can and do can do through you. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. And when you're doing, when you're a Christian or you're doing the work of the Lord, everywhere around us you see people living unto themselves and without hope. Just so many examples we could get into many stories. We've also had some, my daughter's been had the privilege of being able to invite some Muslims out to our meetings, and some have come out to hear us speak, and boy, they're really looking at this thing. There's such a difference. And one young man said, he said, what's the difference? I went and told my mom, you know, he said, after he believed, he said, I went and told my mom. And what's the difference? Well, the difference is that we have a Savior, and we have a sacrifice, and we have a blood sacrifice that was shed on our behalf so that our sins could be washed away. And when that message becomes clear to the to many people, we see them either coming to the light or going away from the light. Verse 19 of 2 Corinthians 5, it says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. I don't know how long it's been since you've seen somebody come to know the Lord, but I just seen a brother come to know the Lord, and you'll see a picture of him tonight. But it's when they realize that all the sin that I've done, all my good works is not going to clean it up, and that God is not crediting to your or my account the sin that I've really committed. It's laid on somebody else, and he's taking care of the whole thing. And you know that, but sometimes, I don't know about you, it's like I hear those guys downstairs and I get ticked off first. And then finally I think, what am I ticked off? Do I actually have a right to be offended? When Christ has done so much for me, do I have the right to be offended at somebody? I really don't think so. Verse 20 says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And another translation puts it this way. Here we are, then, speaking for Christ, as though God himself were making his appeal through us. We plead on Christ's behalf, let God change you from enemies into his friends. My brother Bill was sharing with, he's in Orlando, and he was sharing with a man who'd moved up from Mexico and felt that his good works really was what mattered. And so my brother took him through a few passages in the Word of God, and he showed him that it was all about the Lord Jesus Christ and that his good works was not going to save him. And so he went and he said, okay, I understand. And he went home a few times after my brother talking to him, and he just kind of ignored the message. And so finally my brother was talking to him recently, and he said to him, he said, well, have you thought about the fact that you will go to hell and spend all of eternity in hell, or you can put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ today? He said, yeah, I have thought about it. And he said, well, do you believe it's true? He said, yeah, I realize that it's true that I could go to hell today. And my brother said, and you're good with that? And he said, no, actually, I'm not. And what I'm saying is that my brother got to the point where he started to plead with this man. Sometimes we share the message of salvation, I've done it many times, and we leave it there, but let's plead with this person. Let's take them by the hand, and let's take them all the way to Christ. Let's not just leave them unclear. And that's why I try to encourage my brothers, my family and friends, and myself, which I forget many times, put a tract in your pocket that is clear on the message of salvation so that you can put it in their hand, and then when they walk away from you, they can go sit in their home, and they can relook at this thing. Many times we sit in a little pavilion in Papua New Guinea, and we've had to rebuild recently, and there's been many opportunities to share the Word of God. And every time they go home, I give them little paper verses, and I say, go back over this. Sometimes they say, yes, I know what you're saying. I'm not ready right now or whatever. Then I have something for them, and I say, take this home with you and take a relook at this. I was showing a picture of a couple weeks ago in Fredericton of just some of these cities that are around the world. Tall buildings, millions of people in these places, and we're looking at pictures of Sao Paulo and places of Dhaka, and people are moving in there by the thousands, sometimes thousands a week in the city of Dhaka are moving into that city. And they're coming into these suburbs, and they're looking at each other, and they're saying, well, he's a Buddhist, and I'm a Muslim, and he's a this, and I'm a that. Who's got the truth? What's really the truth? I was sitting in the mountains in Papua New Guinea trying to get this guy to say his language. We didn't know where we were going to go, so we were surveying this language. And after we were all done, the young man said to me, who was helping me as I was writing down his language, he said, Luke, we have this church here, and we have that church here. And he said, I don't know what you're wanting to bring here, but he said, if it doesn't change the life, he said, don't bother coming. He said, if what you have really doesn't change the life, because none of this has, so don't bother coming if it doesn't change you, change us. I thought, wow, somebody can see on our faces, people do see on our faces, the difference whether we are believers or not. Well, you know the verses, Romans 10. How shall these people call on him of whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? Well, that's that's us. And how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I just want to take a couple extra minutes here. The Yurok Indians are from California, and for thousands of years, the Yurok Indians lived there and died, and then one day, a missionary came along. And so the missionary began to ask, and he said, which missionaries typically do, they want to find out if they know if there's a creator. In our case, in my tribe, it's been so lost, they just believe that there's a fat lady who lived in a cave and she produced life to mankind. Kind of a pathetic story. But if you have somebody that understands somehow there was a creator, which the Yurok Indians did believe in. So the missionary asked, he said, do you guys believe in a creator? And, oh, yes. Does the creator have a name? Yes, Wapakumu. So is Wapakumu a good person or bad? No. Oh, Wapakumu is perfectly holy, doesn't do anything wrong. Oh, really? Yes, he's created everything. He's created us. Okay. Is Wapakumu happy or sad when we do wrong to each other? Oh, yes, he's very grieved with that anytime we do sin. Oh, well, what's sin? And the people began to tell him. And they had a lot of understanding what was scriptural. So then the missionary said, well, does Wapakumu know our thoughts? Oh, no, no, he can't see our thoughts. Oh, okay. So as he began to teach the word, the people began to realize that Wapakumu, who is God, actually knows our thoughts and knows everything about us. But these people, for thousands of years, built an altar, and they sliced the throat of a deer and let its blood spill out because they felt that that was payment for their sins to Wapakumu, not realizing that for thousands of years, none of that was true. And then some of you have seen the video of the Moke people who believed in Papua New Guinea on New Britain Island. And for hundreds of years, they lived and died until they heard the word of God, and then they put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in part of the video, you see them weeping and crying because they realize that grandma and their kids and whoever else that has died went to hell without Christ. And we can all start to puzzle around that and think, well, where's God in all of this? And there's a verse in Romans chapter 9, verse 14, and it says, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. And I just want to close with a couple thoughts. In Luke 15:3, Jesus is speaking a parable, and he talks about what man, if he has 100 sheep, if he loses one, he leaves the 99 behind, and he goes and gets, and he searches for that lost one until he comes back with it. And then what? He rejoices. And Jesus puts a parallel there, and he says in verse 7, he says, I say unto you, likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. So the question is this morning is, what is the value of a soul? I was talking to a lady last week, and she is a missionary, been in South America in a small tribe of 120 people, and by the time she left, there's 80, and now there's 50. Are they worth learning a language for? Like, I'm in a tribe of 100,000, but are they worth learning a language for and translating the Bible for? Well, that's what she went down to do. And so I'm asking this morning, what is the value of your neighbors? What is the value of their soul? We had a missionary pilot go down in the jungles of Brazil, and he was there for, I don't know how long, but for at least a week. And he had a big cut in his leg, and began to get infected, and he ran over to the roots of a tree and dug out some maggots and put it on there and began to clean it up, and there he was. But we, as a mission, they and other people looked for that plane until they found it. But sometimes planes are lost and never found again. What about us? What about your kids? How long would we take the time to look for our kids? What if your kid was lost tomorrow in the woods? I got four kids. You know, I lost one. I couldn't find it. I guess so. After a couple of days, we'll give up. You know, I got three others. That's pretty good. What do you think, Leonard? You got a few kids there. You know, you lose one, you've got other ones. You know, maybe a day or two. What would you look? Are you kidding? We'd give our lives to that. We would look until we found that child, and we would go and we would search and we'd ask people to help us because we want to find that child because it's one of our loved ones. But it's a much more serious thing when it comes to the spiritual death that's around us and the spiritual lostness of people. What is the value of a soul?
Last verse here, verses are this. Sorry, I said there was going to be the last one. I'd like to share this. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:22, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after they that are at his coming, Christ's coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. It's talking about the end, and it's talking about destroying the last enemy. And I just want to say this little point. You're alive. You're still alive. I could see it on your faces today. You're alive. And you can be used of God today. And you can have a little book someday of your story that can encourage other people about how you were used, whether you're in, like my brother Mark one day in grade two, talking to somebody about the Lord, or whether you're at your place of work, or wherever God has you, and you believe that he has you in that place, God can use you there. We still have opportunities to redeem the time and not let time slip away. Just one quick song, verse of a song. It says, rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin in the grave, weep or the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Tonight we're going to do a little update on Papua New Guinea, and I trust you'll be able to come back again. Can't thank you enough for your prayers. There's so many things that we can say about that and talk about. We really appreciate it. And again, if you have an MP3 player that's sitting around your house doing nothing, we'd love to take that off your hands. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love to us. We thank you again for the Holy Spirit, for how he opens the way. Father, as you give us opportunities to share the message of Christ, that he died for sinful men. And Father, by putting our faith and trust in him who died for us, we can have eternal life. What a privilege, Father, to be ambassadors of Christ. And Father, I pray that you would bless each one as they go from here, and maybe we each be encouraged to share the message with those around us. May we grow in your word. Father, thank you for all of your love to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.